All right, here we go. Episode 2. We got an official name now. Wonder Bread Sports Talk. I know it's interesting. Without the A, we're bread. We're out here. We're going to get going. This is episode 2. We're going to talk about some crazy things today. We're going to talk about the 2K ratings that just dropped. We got the top 100 players in 2K. I don't know if any of you guys play 2K or even keep up with 2K because of a bunch of people hate it. So we'll see what happens, but we're going to do that. We're going to talk about the top ratings. We're going to talk about the surprises, the snubs, and also we're going to add a new segment at the end of today's episode, which is a fan Q&A. Now, since this podcast just started off, we don't have that many fans. It's mostly just family and friends that are listening to it. But I'm going to get some questions from my friends at the end, so that's how today's Q&A is going to come into place. It could be about the NBA. It could be about the NFL. It could be about any sports, or it could just be regular life. So we're going to make things happen, and I hope you guys enjoy the second episode of Wonder Bread Sports Talk. All right, before we fully hop in here, got to talk about a basketball legend who just retired, John Wall. He's called it a career. He's called it a career after, you know, an amazing career, especially at the Wizards, and then kind of fell out with the Clippers after that and never really came back to full stardom like we saw him on the Wizards. But, you know, shout out to John Wall. He's been insane to watch. We all love watching him grow up. And there's not much else you can say about John Wall. 360 layups, crazy speed, kind of like a reincarnation of a young Derrick Rose for a little bit there. And, you know, wish him a happy retirement. And finally, on to the 2K ratings after talking about John Wall there for a second. We're going to go through the top 10 first and kind of, I'm going to give you my overall feeling on this top 10. It's going to be mixed. It's going to be kind of weird. But, you know, here we go. So, number one, we got Jokic, 98 overall. Yup. 1A is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander at a 98 overall. No debate in my mind, honestly. Those two should be at the top. Maybe a debate on Giannis being a 98 as well, just because he's that good. And he is a 97, so that's a good rating for him. I think that's valid. I don't think there's any complaints, in my opinion, on the top three. Luka at 95, yeah, that's good. Anthony Edwards at 95, I can let that slide, but it's who he's over as I'm kind of worried about. He's been good. Anthony Edwards has been great. He's had a great past few seasons, and last season he really flourished. But he was never really, you know, like that consistent star potential. Now, yes, he was good. He was a superstar all season. He was playing great, but, you know, he didn't show up in the playoffs. He played well in some games. He, you know, whooped KD in past years, and he's whooped LeBron and all these different people. But I still think there's that next step. I think that's kind of what they're predicting right now is him taking this huge leap next year. But I don't think he should be over Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum was in the MVP voting. Anthony Edwards was not. I don't see that. I know Jason Tatum just tore his Achilles and is out probably for the rest of the year. But I think Tatum is top three or four player. He's over Luka Doncic for sure. Tatum should be a 96 overall. He should be sitting there at 96. Under Giannis, under SGA, and under Jokic. Now, talking about Steph and LeBron, I'm okay with 94s for them. But I feel like LeBron's going to have a little bit of a fall off. He's been great. His longevity is insane. You know, he's in the GOAT conversation. I think Michael Jordan's the GOAT, but we're not going to get into that right now. But I think LeBron's going to have a bigger fall off than Curry is. His game is proven to last longer just because he can shoot the heck out of the ball. And his cardio is absolutely ridiculous. One of the hardest players to guard in the league. Same with LeBron. But I think that aging and that speed is going to catch up to him a little bit here in this next season. He's probably still going to average over 20 points per game. But I'm still iffy about that one. Now, moving on. Y'all know, I talked about Victor Wembanyama in the last episode. 94 overall for him is egregious. I'm sorry. He's a great player. 94 overall is crazy. He did not play that well last season. And I think he has a lot more growth before he even gets to that point where we can start throwing him in over Kevin Durant, over Donovan Mitchell, over Jalen Brunson, over Cade Cunningham? Yeah, no. I just don't think he should be in the top 10. I think it's just 2K glazing him a little bit. But KD sitting at 93, I think he could be higher. I think we could move Tatum to that 96 and throw KD at a 94. But, you know, 93 is fine. That's all right. So, you know, overall with this top 10, move Jason Tatum. Anthony Edwards can sit. Luka Doncic can sit. But I think Tatum's over both of them. Curry, debatable to be a 95 overall. LeBron, I might drop to a 93. And then Wembanyama, I'd probably drop to like maybe like a 91, depending on how his season goes. Because if he has a great season, then I really think he could jump up. Okay, now let's get through 11 through 30 right now. So we got Donovan Mitchell at 93. I think that's fine. I think he could go up possibly. Anthony Davis at 93. I think it's questionable depending on how much he plays this season. He's injury prone, so we all know that. But where is he going to be? I don't know. Jalen Brunson, 93. Jalen Brunson was one of the better players in the league last season, and I do not think Wembanyama is over Brunson. I won't lie. So that's why I said Wembanyama should be at 91. Tyrese Halliburton at a 93 overall. I think that's egregious as well. He had a great playoff performance, one of the clutchest players or playoff performances of all time. But I just don't think he's that good of a player. I think Siakam's the better player on the team. Halliburton is the definition of a point guard. Great at passing the ball, great at leading his team, but I do not think he deserves a 93 overall. Now, Kawhi at a 92. He played great for that back half of the season, had a crazy playoff run against the Nuggets. He was hitting clutch shots. He was dropping 40. He was killing. But I'd keep him out of 92, but I think he could drop. Cade Cunningham, 92, I think no. I think he's over Wembanyama again, and I think he's one of the best players in the league. I think he's top 10, honestly. Maybe move LeBron out for Cade next season because Cade's going to have a huge jump and the Pistons are actually going to be back in playoff contention with how easy the East is. So I really think he can make that giant jump next season, and he was already insane last year. So the one I really, really don't like, Joel Embiid at a 92 overall. Has he played? No. And they also have the most back-to-backs or second most back-to-backs this upcoming season. Him and Paul George have been injury-riddled, and he's still a 92 overall. Yes, he was a past MVP, but he hasn't been in that form since because of injuries, because of not playing. And when he does play, he just foul baits, and, you know, he doesn't look that good. So I think Joel Embiid should be lower. Now, Cat at a 92, I think he deserves that. He played really well last season, and we'll see how he does this season coming on. Number 19, Ja Morant. 91 overall, I think he could be higher, but, you know, coming out of that kind of gruesome injury from Lou Dort, who I think is a very dirty player, and, you know, there was a bunch of fouls in the finals. I'm not going to get into that because I could go all day about Lou Dort and all his fouls. But I think Ja Morant, 91, that I think he could be – he's definitely over Embiid, as I said. He's probably over Halliburton just total production-wise. And one of the biggest things that I really, really hate – the 20th is Devin Booker at a 91 overall. You kidding me? That dude is not a 91 overall. He should be higher than that. He should at least be 93 overall with Anthony Davis and Donovan Mitchell. He's not in the same category as Cat and Ja Morant or Joel Embiid right now. I think he's way better, and I think he'll show that this upcoming season. Now, going on to number 21, I mean, J-Dub at a 90 overall. Now, this dude made an all-NBA team. Guys, if he made an all-NBA team and they put him at a 90, that is crazy, I think. Like, why is he making an all-NBA team, or why is he a 90 overall after making an all-NBA team? Tell me why. Now, you guys know my opinion here is J-Dub shouldn't have been made an all-NBA team. He definitely shouldn't have been an all-star. But I think this 90 overall sits well for me. I think he's on a similar level as Jaylen Brown, who is a 90 overall as well. And I also think Jaylen Brown's a little bit better, and I think he'll show that this season. And J-Dub's going to still be a number two option. Jaylen Brown's going to have the opportunity to show his number one option on the Celtics with Tatum out. So I think we're going to see a big jump from him. And I think J-Dub is either going to stagnate or kind of fall down a little bit. Now, after Jaylen Brown at 90, you got Trae Young at a 90, and then Kyrie at a 90. I think Kyrie could be way higher. Kyrie deserves a lot more respect, and he's a great player, and I think he'll bounce back really well. So I think that's a bad one. But one of the most egregious calls, one of the most egregious ratings I've seen this whole time is Paolo Banchero at an 89 overall. Y'all saw him before he got injured last season, averaging 35 points per game. The best player on his team, and he is an 89 overall. He's better than Kyrie right now. Yes. He's better than Trae Young right now. Yes. He's better than Jaylen Brown right now. Yes. Better than J-Dub. Better than Booker. I will say it. Better than Ja Morant. Better than Kat. Better than Embiid. I think he's better than Cade right now. I think he's better than Kawhi. Halliburton. I think he's more productive than Brunson. He hasn't improved himself in the playoffs, but I think he will be. Better than Anthony Davis. Donovan Mitchell is where I'll stop. He is better than Wembanyama. Paolo Banchero is better than Wembanyama. Younger, more potential. And, yeah, he's going to do great things this next season. And kind of finishing out this last bit, the 89 overalls, we're talking Evan Mobley, Siakam, Harden, JJJ, Jaren Jackson Jr. I don't have any problems with this. That's fine with me. But Bam at an 88, I think he could be higher, especially we're going to see this season if he can be higher. And hopefully he is, but you never know what's going to happen. And then another one I don't like is Chet Holmgren being an 88 overall. Guys, he was not that good. He played great on defense in the finals and played pretty good, you know, throughout the regular season other than injuries and kind of being out for a long time. But I just don't think he's that productive to be an 88 overall. I think he's more in the territory of 85, 86. So that's another one I don't like. Dame at an 88. That's fine. Like, he's not even going to play this season. He'll come back and he'll be good. Not as good as he used to be, of course. And then on to 87s here. We got Sabonis, Sengun, LaMelo, Garland, Zion, Zubac, Derek White, and Jimmy Butler. Now, that's not a bad list. I think Sengun, Sabonis are both better than Chet Holmgren, so they should be way above. I think they should be 90s. If we're doing this whole thing where we have so many people in the 90s nowadays, Sengun and Sabonis should be 90s at least. And LaMelo Ball, I think, yeah, that's fine. He could be higher if he actually, like, plays a little bit more and has more time to kind of show who he is. He's a great scorer, but he's not an all-around player, so that's fine with me. Garland, same thing. Zion's too injury-prone to really prove anything. And Zubac is one of the best hidden bigs in the league. Has so much production, a crazy floater, and is great in the pick and roll. So I'm not debating that. Derek White is the best utility guard in the league other than Caruso, but I think he's better than Caruso because he can score. And lastly, we got, you know, Jimmy Buckets at 87. I think he could come out and be higher, but he really hasn't been the same guy that we saw in the Heat. And we didn't really give him time with Steph to develop or anything. So that's all right. But the problem that I really have in this whole debate of 2K ratings, Amen Thompson is rated over All-Star Tyler Hero, one of the best point guards in the league, Tyrese Maxey, Franz Wagner, and De'Aaron Fox, and even more guys that he should not be rated over. Did you see Amen Thompson play? Yes, athletic. Great player. Is probably going to have a good year. But over Tyler Hero, who was an all-star, who should be higher, Tyrese Maxey, who is a dog, he carries the Sixers franchise right now while Paul George and Embiid are out. And same with Quentin Grimes, who they brought in. And Franz and Fox, gosh, Franz was one of the best players in the league in the paint. His hook shot, his layup, he was impeccable at finishing the paint. You couldn't stop him. We watched that in the Boston series. Even though they lost, he was unstoppable in the paint. He wasn't able to shoot from the outside, wasn't consistent. So I think he has to improve on that. But Franz is better than Amen Thompson. And De'Aaron Fox is, we all know him. He's swipe, but he's fast. He's got all the speed, all the different things. I watched him break down the Suns offense in overtime. It was bad. He's so fast, so quick, fidgety. You can't guard him. He had like three straight mid-range buckets off of a twitch cross. And yeah, you can't guard that, man. So I don't know. Amen Thompson, you can guard way better and easier. But I just think that's a bad way to kind of put Amen Thompson at that rating. And I think 2K really never gets it right. But I think at the end of the day, we're all going to have our opinions and we're all going to hate the 2K ratings and they're not always going to be accurate. And maybe Wembanyama's perfect for someone else. And maybe Edwards is way too high for another person. Or maybe Curry should be a 99, which, yeah, he should. But another problem that we need to talk about before I, you know, log off, this episode's going to be a little bit shorter, is the three-point ratings this season. All right. So we have Curry at a 99. Everybody knows that. That's fine. Keep Curry at 99. There's only two 90s. Two 90 overalls, including Curry, and the other is KD. KD was efficient, yeah. But as efficient as the other guys, Anthony Edwards was the top dog on three-point shooting. I do not think his percentages weren't as good. But still, how? Anthony Edwards is an 87. Klay's an 89. Desmond Bane's an 88. Isaiah Joe's an 88. I don't know why. Like, yeah, he's a good player. I don't know why he's in there. But Zach LaVine, 87. Sam Hauser, 87. Grayson Allen, 87. Yeah, because Grayson Allen got a strap on him over there. And Luke Kennard. Now, that's a crazy list to only have two people above 90 overall. There were much better shooters. Peyton Pritchard shut that thing on him on the bench. I think he broke the Celtics' all-time three-pointers off the bench. And he's not even on this top 10 list, which is kind of crazy to me. And Hauser is, who kind of, he had a great season, but he wasn't, you know, always there. And Pritchard played pretty much every game. And, you know, he's still not on here. So I'm kind of confused why they only put two guys at a 90 and above. And Klay's there. I'm fine with Klay being there. I'm fine with Bane being there. Anthony Edwards, same thing. But I think Anthony Edwards should be higher. I think even Tatum should make this list because of how much he shoots the three. But I don't know. This list is just kind of concerning for me that they I don't know what they're doing, but I'm still going to buy the 2K game whenever it comes out. I'm crazy. Man. I don't know. That's the 2K community, though. We complain about the game. We complain about the overalls. And then we end up buying the game and playing it for the whole season. And then we do the same thing again. We complain. We don't like the ratings. We don't like something about the game. And then we come back to it the next season. So they're doing something right because they get us to come back, but I think there's a lot of changes that they could make that would improve the game, and I think this 2K actually might be pretty good. We might see some better animations. We might see some better gameplay, and we all know about how they add all that sweat into the pictures because they're like, oh, let's add a couple more beads of sweat and show 2K25 compared to 2K26 graphics, and it's like Shea without that much sweat and then with him just sweating his butt off. So I think that's a huge difference, but I think this game's going to be interesting and I'm excited to see where we go with this game, and you know, maybe it'll be a good time. So if y'all have any advice or any feedback or anything you want to say about the 2K ratings, let me know. Tell me my opinion's wrong, whatever. Tell me, you know, my take's wrong. That's fine. We can go into it if you really want to, but we're going to move on to the last section of the day where I answer a couple questions and then leave y'all to, you know, enjoy your lives out there. All right, let's start this thing off. The first question that I'm answering is going to be more NBA-oriented for the first two, and then we'll go into kind of a life subset and see if you guys like that as well. So first question here, what team do you think is one piece away from being a real contender? Now, honestly, I think the Orlando Magic, honestly, could be up next in that conversation. I think they're one real piece from being there, and I think Suggs being out was a huge problem for them not going all the way. And not, I think they could have went to the Eastern Conference Finals if they had Suggs in the lineup. But I think with Bane coming on, they really could be a contender, and I think that's what we're going to see next season. I think we're going to see Paolo at close to 30 points per game. Franz sitting around 20. Bane around maybe like 15 to 20. I think Bane's going to have to take a little bit of a back seat just because of Paolo and Franz. But hopefully Franz brings that attitude and starts hitting threes more consistently, especially in crunch time and the playoffs. So that's kind of the first one. I really think Orlando is going to make a push next season, especially with Boston out of contention and the Pacers out of contention here. So next question, if you could bring back one retired NBA legend in their prime to play today, who would it be? I honestly, because of the debates, I'd probably bring back prime Michael Jordan, because I would love to see him go against LeBron, like head-to-head, him in his prime and LeBron in his prime. Well, LeBron's at the end of his prime, but I'd love to just see what the people would start to do, especially in the GOAT conversation and how the landscape would change. So I think that's one person I really would want to see, and it would be very interesting because the whole landscape would change. Everybody would be talking about the GOAT conversation differently. But, you know, we can't do that. We got to keep our eyes forward, keep moving forward, and, you know, it's all about talk about the past and GOAT conversations, and, you know, we'll never really come to a conclusion. Some people will think one way, and some people will think the other way, so. Now on to some of the life questions I have. You know, if I had courtside seats, this kind of has to do with basketball too. Who's the one person, famous or not, you'd want sitting next to you? Honestly, nowadays, like, you kind of think about those, like, streamers, those guys that are really interesting, but I'd probably want Steph Curry sitting next to me. That dude, he's very intelligent. He seems like a fun guy. Seems like we'd have a good time just sitting there laughing, doing, just enjoying the game. And he knows the game like nobody else, so you could really pick his brain and understand what's going on and everything. And I played basketball when I was younger, but there's still so much I don't know. You know, I'm not a pro. I'm 5'10", 5'11". Like, I wasn't going pro. I still play nowadays and, you know, bust some people's butts, you know. Like, I cook out there. I can hold my own. I can play some dudes. I played intramurals in college, you know, like that guy. Just kidding. No, I'm not that good, but. The next question we got here, these are getting deep. We're getting deep at the end of this podcast, and I hope you guys like this, and I hope we keep doing it. But if you had to give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be? I would say just enjoy what's in front of you at the time. Like, be where your feet are is one of the biggest things that I've taken into account today, is kind of, you know, enjoying where you're at and enjoying the journey and not kind of rushing things, you know. When we're younger, we're all trying to grow up so fast, but then when we get older, we're reminiscing on the good old days and reminiscing on the times, you know, we don't have the responsibility of paying bills or don't have the responsibility of, you know, paying the rent, the utilities, the food, everything that comes with being, you know, an adult and going on your own, finding that job, especially in this new job market. So I feel for all you people trying to find jobs. I know people that took a year to find a job, and I'm still trying to look out there. Two interviews today. So ultimately, I really would tell my younger self to be where his feet are and enjoy life and, you know, make some mistakes, learn from them. If you're not going to make mistakes, you're not going to learn. And I think that's the greatest thing that life can offer, is emotion and being able to go through those emotions and learn from them and grow and become, you know, the man or the woman you're supposed to be. And that's such a great thing about life and something we all get to experience. And lastly, what's the best risk you've ever taken? Honestly, most recently, I think it was me moving to Phoenix to work for the Suns out there as an intern. I think it was a huge risk because of the pay I was getting. You know, intern pay, especially in the league or any league you want to get into, especially for people who are trying to get into the NBA or any professional sports organization, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be what you want. But sometimes you have to take risks to get where you want to be. And that was one of the biggest risks I took. I was working two jobs out there. I was grinding, and I made mistakes out there. Touching on my last answer to the other question is, you know, I made mistakes. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself, and I learned how to be very independent. And that's probably one of the better risks I ever took. And it really taught me a lot and really kind of, I was able to grow up faster. I was able to kind of understand myself and who I'm ultimately meant to be and ultimately where I want my career trajectory to be. And you know, that still stands in sports, and I'm still interviewing for sports companies. I won't say what companies I had interviews with today, but, you know, I'm hopeful about both of them, and, you know, maybe one of them I'll end up being with in the next month here or the next podcast. I'm going on vacation on the 23rd here, and after I get back, we'll see what happens, and, you know, maybe I'll be employed, and it'll be less podcasts for me, but, you know, hopefully y'all enjoyed this podcast, and I hope this ending was kind of fun for you guys to hear a little bit more about me and more about the experiences I've been through. And, you know, I hope you'll have a good day. It's Brandon here at Wonder Bread Sports signing off for the day, and I hope y'all are blessed and stay blessed.